Okay, let's begin to learn Torah. We left off sort of in middle of a sugya on Hey Amid Beis going over to Vav Amid Aleph. The Gemara is saying that non-Jews are forbidden to bring a mechusar eiver. They can't bring an animal that is missing a limb. They cannot bring that as a carbon to Hashem. That's basically what the Gemara develops. And the Gemara learns this out from the Pasuk Umikol HaChai, that in the context of Noach, the Torah says that you have to bring live animals. And we understand that live animals means bring an animal, Shechayin Rashi Evarim Shalah. Bring an animal that has all of its limbs, that the limbs are all intact. So the Gemara asks, well, one second, maybe Mikol HaChai is coming to exclude a treifa. Maybe it's coming to exclude an animal that is a treifa. Who wants to explain what a treifa is? It's not the same as treif in common parlance.
Is it an animal
that's... Is it what?
An animal that has some sort of ailment that's going to make it die within the next 12 months.
Right, it's an animal that has some sort of ailment that will die within 12 months. How many treifos are there? The Gemara in Chulin in Perek Elu Treifos says that there are Yudches Treifos. There are 18 ailments that Chazal say will kill an animal within a year. And the Gemara discusses, well, how come we're using Mikol HaChai to exclude an animal that doesn't have all of its limbs? Maybe it comes to exclude a treifa. Zok the Gemara, well, treifas can't have children, and therefore Noach al karchacho cannot be told not to bring a treifa, because there's the only reason why Noach is bringing animals is because presumably you have to repopulate the planet, no? That sort of is Noach's job. So the Gemara says, well, treifa will learn from l'chayos zera. So then, picking up from the bottom line of Hey Amid Beis, Hanicha lamanda amat treifa in the Yoledes. Ela lamanda amat treifa Yoledes. My ikol meimar. There is an opinion that a treifa can have children.
What does that mean that it's an opinion that a treifa can have children? So
isn't this a machlokes in Mitzias? And don't we have to absolve our rabbis of indolence? Right? Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zichrono Livracha, said that the reason why there can't be a machlokes in Mitzios, I'm just going to a dinner after, that's why I'm dressed up tonight, but whatever. Rav Aaron used to say that Chachomim can't be lazy. They're not lazy people. And therefore, why don't we just do a test? Though the answer probably is that they tried to do tests and the tests were inconclusive. They don't know. There is a question about treifa yoledas in halacha that this Gemara is bringing up. Now, it's interesting, just word to the wise, the discussion of treifa yoledas in the Gemara is phrased from the perspective of the female, no? Can she have a child? What about a male treifa? You ever thought about this one? Can a male treifa have children? So you might say, like, why the heck not? Well, there is a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. It could be that a male treifa also cannot have children according to the opinion treifa and the yoledes. And the simple meaning of our Gemara would be like that, no? Because our Gemara, Hashem is telling Noach, bring animals into the teva, and if you hold treifa and the yoledes, so then, obviously, you're not going to bring a treifa, right? Well, one second. Noach has to bring one male, one female. We're not only talking about half of the equation, correct? Speak louder.
Wouldn't the grammar be wrong, though, if you're talking about a male?
Right, so the grammar is focused on the female, but by implication, this Gemara seems to be saying that even a male treifa cannot have children. Or else the whole, according to that opinion, or else the whole Gemara doesn't flow, right? But that would kind of be like missing half of the world population.
I mean, in general, right? I mean, yes, except that in general, we usually assume, right, when we talk about
fertility. Correct. Again, the language certainly sounds that way, and I think when we think about a question whether treifa yoledes or not, now, again, especially if you hold that a treifa will die within 12 months, I don't know exactly the gestation period. Maybe some of the bio majors can tell us gestation period of various animals. What? 12 months could be a pretty standard gestation period. So that would fit in. Oh, so the Gemara says, Amar Kura Itcha, right? The Gemara, right? The Pasuk says that Noach is supposed to bring the animals with you, with him, Bidomen Lecha. That the animals are similar to Noach. And just like Noach is not a treifa, the animals can't be treifa. Frek the Gemara, maybe Noach is a treifa. So you say, no, Noach can't be a treifa, it says Tumim. Maybe Tumim just means Tumim Bedrachov. Well, it says Tzadik. Maybe Tumim Bedrachov, Tzadik B'maisov. What are the difference between Derachov and Ma'asov? Deeds and ways. And what's the difference? Right? Tumim Bedrachov, Tzadik B'maisov. So Rashi comments, Tumim Bedrachov means Anov Ushval Ruach. Tzadik b'masov means, according to Rashi, below chamas. In other words, there is what we would call midos in contemporary terms. That is durachov, no? And ma'asov is that you don't steal, that you don't do any ma'isa avera, right? And for some reason, Rashi is focusing specifically on chamas because that's the avera for which the Dar HaMabul was punished. Great. The other Rishonim have a slightly different take. I don't know if you have gotten into reading Ritva again, because Ritva sort of took off a couple of dapim of Agadita. Unlike some of you who like the Agadita, the Ritva decided to take time off. But the Ritva comments that Tomim Bidrachov means Bein Adam Lechaveiro, and Tzadik B'maisov means Bein Adam Lamokom. So Noach was righteous both Bein Adam Lechaveiro and Bein Adam Lamakom. So the Gemara's question is, maybe Tumim and Tzadik don't tell us anything about Noach physically. It doesn't tell us anything about Noach not being a treifa. So the Gemara says, no, lo sakadaitach. You can't think that Noach is possibly a treifa. The isa kadaitach, Noach treifa heva, amalei rachman, kavosach, ayo, shlomin, lo tayo. Right? It wouldn't make any sense. Right, the Torah says you should bring animals itcha, like you. Right, so that means what? If Noach is a treifa, only bring a treifa. Right, you have to dafka bring, ready? Next Yiddish expression, hinkadink. Hinkadink means a limping animal or a limping person. Right? Okay, you're writing it down. This might come in handy, right, for the next exam. The point is, what, you have to dafka bring a tray for that? Wouldn't make any sense. So then the Gemara finishes the circle. If we're learning that it can't be a tray from itcha, why do you need l'chayo? Zera? Zatik ma'i me itcha, I would think it's just l'tzavta ba'alma. I would think it's just, tzavta is actually a modern Hebrew term also, which means like companionship. No? Ani ve'hasavta yoshevet b'tzavta. It's one of Saba's songs, if you're interested. But tzavta means companionship. It would just be itcha. I would think that you only need to bring some sort of animal just to have companionships, that you shouldn't be lonely. Kamash malan the pasuk, l'chaya zera, that it's coming to teach me that we have to populate the world. Okay, so this is the Gemara, a beautiful Gemara. Effectively, the Gemara is saying that Noah could not be a treifa, because were Noah to be a treifa, it wouldn't make any sense of the Torah saying dafka, bring treifas like you, Noach. That's what the Gemara says. So Tosfos over here is bothered by Akasha. The Tosfos Vidoma that I ask you to focus on. What's Tosfos' question? Not so complicated. Talia? Huh? Tosfos is, okay, next year to short, bavarning a question. Bavarning means that you don't ask it directly, but you assume a question in presenting an answer. So Tosfos is asking, one second, Noach lived for a long time, for many years after the Mabul. How long did Noach live for? So it's a pasuk, 300 years. That's a long time. So Tosfos asks Akasha, 300 years is more than 12 months. And therefore, how could you possibly think that Noach is a treifa? Because had he been a treifa, he would have died. No? It's a fairly simple question. So Tosus says, Mikol Makom, you see the Tosus, V'delma, Mikol Makom, but Osa Sha'a, Lo Haya Yodayam Haya Trefa O Shalem, Shiyaniach, Milahavi Trefa Mitam Dumyan Lucha. Tosus says, at that moment, when Noach is told to bring the animals in, Noach does not know if he is a Trefa or not. Why not? We don't know, right? Some of the trephas, many of the trephas, are internal organs which are damaged, right? By the way, in halacha, if you shecht an animal and you check for trephas, you check the lungs, right? They're yud ches trephas. How come we only check the lungs? We're checking the lungs to make sure that there's no adhesions to the lung. There's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos in Perek Elo trephas, whether an adhesion to the lung automatically passes the animal by definition, because we assume that if there's a sircha, if there's an adhesion, that there has to be a hole underneath it, and the hole would really make the animal trefa. Alternatively, the other opinion is that, no, a sircha just means that you can't check that there's no hole, so it's really a suffix trefa when there's a sircha. The standard checking of the lungs that we do, I don't know if we ever want to take a trip to Schlachtais, because it's we have one vote, two votes. Okay, it is kind of exciting, right? That's definitely no. You're going to be a doctor. You're going to see blood. Get used to it. But when you shecht an animal, we do what's called the bedikas chutz and bedikas pnim. Bedikas chutz means that after you shecht the animal, you feel, or the shochet reaches his hands in and feels the animal, that there are no sirchas, no adhesions on the outside. And then we do a bedikas pnim, which is we take the lungs out, we blow it up. If you have a good set of lungs, so we do put it underwater. It's the same as your tire. Like if you ever check a tire for a hole, you put it in water and you see. You put it in water also. But we do what's called the bdikas pnim, which is that we blow it up so it gets really fat. Like a lung is like a balloon, no? You could blow up the lungs. Some shochtim, when we go to Rav Ben Chaim to shecht, he blows up the lungs with his mouth, which I consider a little bit gross. Most people just take, you know, those like hoses of air like they have in the gas station to fill your tires? Most Schlachtois and have that type of thing, and they fill the lungs with air, and then you reach your hands in and you feel around to make sure there are no adhesions. How can we only check the lungs? If there are 18 trephas, shouldn't we check everything else? So if you're very frum, you know that Rav Soloveitchik used to make a whole stink when he was in charge of the Shechita in Boston. He felt that by some of the smaller animals, the behemos dakos, like goats, they should also check the stomach, that there are no holes in it, because goats eat the top of the fence often. Like, goats like to eat everything. If you ever went to a petting zoo, you notice this. They'll eat your shirt off you. So Rav Soloveitchik felt that on goats, they should check the stomach also. They don't do that. We only check the lungs on animals. The reason for that is because the halacha is that you only have to check if there's a miyut hamatzui, that there's going to be a problem. Miyut hamatzui is defined as a minor occurrence, a small occurrence, but it's matzui, it's kan. That is defined by the Mishkanes Yaakov as being 10%. Miyut hamatzui means 10%. You only have to check stuff for problems in halacha if there's a 10% likelihood that it can have a problem. Less than 10%, you don't have to check. That is the Mishkanes Yaakov's psak. That's what the OU uses. In Israel today, many of the Haredi Shechitas use the shear that Rebbe Yashiv gave, that you have to check if there's a 7% likelihood. Others are more makel. There's a great book, Lachem Yiyala Achla, that's written by Rabbi Tam Henkin, Hashem Yikom Damo, no? Rabbi Tam Henkin was killed with his wife Nava like 2 years ago or so. He was a really outstanding budding Talmud Chacham. He has a sefer called Lachem Yiyala Achla. Lachem Yiyala Achla basically argues that everyone who's very machmir about checking for bugs is being too super machmir. And it's not necessary. First of all, he says you only have to check if there's a 10% light. You only have to check if there's a miyut hamatzui. How do you define miyut hamatzui? So he writes a hoshtek otayra that no one uses the 7% shita, even the 10% shita is too machmir. He thinks a 15% likelihood. That's when you have to check. Now, of course, we also have to question, what does 15% mean when I'm checking for bugs, no? Does it mean, or 10%? 10% is easier to use just in our own numbers. Does 10% mean that if I'm eating lettuce, if I'll get a bug in 1 out of 10 bites, then I have to check? Does it mean 1 out of 10 heads of lettuce, if it has a bug, you have to check? Or does it mean 1 out of 10 serving sizes that you have to check, no? Obviously, if you break it down smaller, if you use a shear of 1 out of 10 bites, so then you have to check less things than if you use a shear of 1 out of 10 heads of lettuce that you have to check. But basically, this halacha of treifas is why we check animals. We only check the lungs because the tradition among shochtim forever has been that only lungs have a 10% likelihood of having a problem. Every other treifa, there are many treifas. For example, we'll talk about nikav krum shomoach, no? If the brain membrane has a hole in it, the animal's a treifa. If the animal, some treifas are very recognizable, no? If an animal's an amputee, min ha'arkuvo lamailo. If the knee above is severed, then it's a treifa. There are other treifas. The Gemara discusses, let's say there is a hole in the gallbladder. If there's a hole in the gallbladder, you would probably notice, no? Because the bile would end up... Hey, scientists? Hey, anyone went to high school? Okay, good. No. Wow. You're younger than I thought.
I'm kidding, that's awesome.
Baruch Hashem. I took bio lab with Rabbi Meir Soloveitchik. And, you know, Sali, he's the rabbi in the Spanish-Portuguese synagogue. So as we were dissecting these animals, he was, like, inventing these songs going on and on about the various parts of the animal. Whatever, it's a lot of fun. But it's kind of weird. What can we do? So now, the basic point is that Tosis has a kasha. Right, we're saying Noach possibly is a treifa, fractosis, but Noach lived for 300 years, no? Tosis over here says he lived many years. Tosis in Zvachim says that the Pasuk says it's 300 years. So Tosis says, oh, well maybe Noach doesn't know if he's a treifa or not, because how could you know? Do you know that you're a treifa? So Tosis says he doesn't like that answer. V'lo nihira teretz zeh. Why? The al karchacha lo his hero ela mitreifos hagaloi v'nikar. The mitreifos shebeseiser lo haya yachol lahavchin. Tosi says, when Hashem says, don't bring a treifa, you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Noah, like, x-ray vision, that he could x-ray animals and see, is there a hole in the gallbladder? Right? Presumably not. Right? Presumably Hashem says, don't bring a treifa. What Hashem is saying to Noach is, if you see that an animal's a treifa, right? The animal is an amputee, an akuva lamaila. The animal has an extra finger, no? Something like that. The animal's that type of treifa. Okay. But the internal treifas, Tosis says, obviously we're not talking about that for Noach. So we're back to our question. The question is, how can you possibly entertain that Noach is a treifa? So Tosis answers that our Gemara is going according to the opinion that treifa chaya. We're going according to the opinion that treifas can live for a long time. And Noach perhaps was a treifa, and the fact that he lived doesn't prove that he's not a treifa, because treifas can live. Again, we have the question, isn't it a malachlokus and metzias? That's a very strong question. I don't know the answer. Actually, we might talk about the answer a little bit later, but for now, we don't know the answer. So far, so good? So Tosfos is bothered by a question that how can you entertain that Noach may have been a treifa? It's interesting to note that Tosfos in other mesechtes gives a different answer to this question. Did anyone see the Tosfos in Zvachim? Or the Tosfos in Erevin? What? You saw Tosfos in Zvachim. Now Tosfos Rabbeinu Ochanan, by the way, over here, just to prove why he's the best version of Tosfos, really entertains, he gives the answers that are found in the other versions of Tosfos. Tosfos in Zvachim basically quotes from Rabbeinu Tam. And this is like a classic Rabbeinu Tam, no? Rabbeinu Tam likes saying that there are Tzvei Dinim. Rabbi Yehuda likes saying that there are two different halachos. So Rabbi Yehuda says, you know what? There are two halachos. Treifas by human are different than treifas by animals. A treifa with an animal will die within 12 years. But a treifa with a human could live for a very long time. Why? So Rabbi Nutam has a lashon in the Tosfos in Zvachim that Adam isle mazla. No? That human, this is like a gemara at the beginning of Bava Kama. Adam isle mazla means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it sounds like an idea that the Rambam deals with in the Moreh, which is, does Hashgacha Pratis exist for all humans? Does Hashgacha Pratis extend to animals? No, Hashgacha Pratis means that God cares about every individual. And the simple reading of the Gemara in Chulin, Ein Adam Nokev Etzba'o Melmata, Elam Kein Nigzar Olam Melmayla, means that God is really determining everything, no? And God cares about every individual. There's a term that Dr. David Berger uses in one of his articles called incidentalist. Incidentalist is a philosophical concept that means hashgacha pratis on every single action. The Gemara in one place says that yisurin means that I reach my hand into the pocket to take out 50 cents and I end up pulling out one quarter instead of two quarters. Right? Halavai yisurin should be like that. But that is coming from the approach that Kadosh Baruch Hu is determining every single thing. And that would mean, if I kill you, it has to be that Kadosh Baruch Hu somehow declared it. And what does that mean in terms of my free will? That really raises serious philosophical questions, which you probably discussed at some point in philosophy classes, and you probably don't know the answer to, because no one really knows the answer to this, but the question is much better than the answer, right? Now, the point is, the argument of Rabbi Nutam is that Adam is le mazel, that humans have mazel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically gives special protection for human beings, and therefore a treifa might not die by a human, but a treifa by an animal will die. You get the impression that the hashgacha on animals is not the same as hashgacha on humans, which I think is a fairly standard approach, no? So far, so good? Now, Tosfos in other Masechtas says a distinction that sounds very similar to this Rabbeinu Tam, but it's off a tiny bit. Tosfos in Erevin. Now, when I say Tosfos, I mean like the Tosfos Yeshonim, which is, I showed Michal during Seder, the Tosfos in Erevin is written in regular size print, and then there's a different version of Tosfos that they printed on the page that's written in smaller print. That's a Tosfos Yeshonim in Erevin. Tosfos Yeshonim in Erevin says an approach that maybe humans and animals have the same treifos. However, usually, with an animal, once you have a hole in the brain, it's going to spread and it will really kill you. By a human, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the brain membrane stronger, that even if there's a small hole in the brain membrane, it might not kill you. It's not that fundamentally the treifa is different, but I think what the Tosfos in Erevin is saying is that the idea of the treifa is that it will like spread out and kill you, and that's true by animals, that's not true by humans. It's like a distinction in the mitzius of the type of hole that's there. Now, the Ritva quotes all of these approaches. The approach that there's a distinction between human treifos and animal treifos. The Tosfos Rabbeinu Elchanan quotes it. And I say distinction, I mean a fundamental distinction. That the 18 treifos are animals. Humans have different treifos.
Right. What's the nafkamina?
I'll tell you a huge nafkamina. Ready? Is the halacha of treifos a halacha of Moshe Sinai that's absolute and it's fixed? Or is it based on what the doctors say? Do you know anybody who had a hole in their heart? I know something. You had one.
A dog.
What? Your dog had it. And they can do surgery today, no? right? Again, with people, right? I mean, Talia is right here, right? This is...
What?
Often it's a common thing, like in little babies. It's very scary. You end up spending a decent amount of time in the NICU. Sometimes the heart is, like, put in the wrong direction, and they have to, like, flip everything around. Sometimes there's, like, a hole in the heart, which they have to fix. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave seichel to people, and we can now heal trefos. Question, does that matter? If I have, again, dogs are treif anyway, but let's say I have a cow that had a hole in its heart, and it went to the cow vet, and the cow vet fixed the cow. Are you allowed to eat that animal after it shechted? Does the fact that the animal lives for 12 months, is that megala that it wasn't a treifa? Or do I say, no, it is a treifa, but sometimes weird things happen? Or do I say that treifos are not really halacha l'moshe misinai? Treifos aren't that Hashem said these 18 conditions make an animal non-kosher. These 18 conditions make a human about to die. Rather, maybe treifos are all what the doctors say. No? This comes up all the time. A ben ches. Right? A baby born in the 8th month. According to Chazal, that baby's not supposed to make it, right? I know lots of people who are born in the 8th month, and they're Baruch Hashem alive and kicking. No? The Chazon-ish. Wait, let's first finish this conversation, and then we'll get to the Chazon-ish. Tosfos in Zvachim is saying that fundamentally human treifos are different than animal treifos. And you can't, just because I have the same thing on the list, right? It doesn't mean that it's true. The human treifos are totally different than the animal treifos. There's no comparison. Treifa by a human will live. Treifa by an animal will die. End of conversation. Tosis in Erevin is saying, yeah, humans and animals are different, but it's not a fundamental difference. There's a different list of treifos. The difference is more whether it will kill in a practical sort of way. That sounds like the definition of treifa is whether it will die. Yes?
I just don't understand, because even in the Zvachim, right, where you distinguish between the fact that animals and humans have different things, you can still entertain the possibility that humans can intervene in the treifa and fix it. Like, I don't know. Like,
even if animals and humans are different,
fundamentally different, so compared to that.
You can say that. You can. However, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Shechita that the treifos by an animal are halacha l'moshe misinai, and therefore, even if the animal lives, the animal is still considered a treifa, and you can't eat it. And even if the doctors can heal the animal, it doesn't matter. It's still a treifa, and you can't eat it.
Shouldn't the surgery remove the... I mean, like, if you're saying that the animal's still living, you're saying that the treifa, like, the treifa part is still there. But if the doctor...
So we might be saying that, or we might be saying something a little different. The Ritva writes over here, I, Noach, lived for a long time. Says the Ritva, that was a miracle. There are lots of miracles by Noach, no? The fact that the teva could hold so many animals is a miracle. There are lots of miracles by Noach. The Ritva says this is also a miracle. He says that many midrashim say that there are many miracles. The point that I'm trying to get to, again, it's not absolute to heal. I think you're right. I could say that treifos by humans are different than treifos by animals, and maybe al pi halacha, you can still fix both of them, right? I could say that. But for some reason, the Chazon Ish understands the Rambams. This is the Chazon Ish in Yerideya Simen Hei, Os Gimel. And in fact, there is a Chazon Ish in the Stern Beit Midrash upstairs, as I just figured out around half an hour ago, or whatever it was. Chazon Ish writes, treifos by animals are absolutely fixed. The Gemara Avodah Zarah and Daf Tes, we'll get to it, I hope, says that the world is going to be 6,000 years. First 2,000 years is the years of Torah. 2,000 doesn't really mean 2,000. It means until the year 1948 when Avram Avinu was born. No? Avram Avinu was a real Zionist. He was born in 1948. That's the Gemara on Daf Tes. And those are 2,000 years of Torah. after 2,000 years of Tohu comes 2,000 years of Torah, and then comes 2,000 years of Yemos HaMashiach, and that is the world being 6,000 years old. The Chazon Ish asks, what is the significance of 2,000 years of Torah? Says the Chazon Ish, you know what the significance is? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu established Halacha based on the realities that existed in those 2,000 years between 1948 and roughly the year 3948, 4,000. At that time, the whole, right, your dog is living by a miracle. Because at that time, a dog that's born with a hole in its heart can't be fixed. Trefa. The definition of trefa is that Chazal say, the Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim is telling us, Yud Ches Trefos, meaning, even if you fix it, that's just because refuah is miskadem, right? Medicine advances, and al pi medicine, now we can fix it, Baruch Hashem. But the halacha of treifa by an animal remains a treifa. By humans, the halacha of treifa is not based on whether it will live or die, right? It's not like a halacha, I should say. By humans, it's just whether it will live or die. That makes it a treifa. And the fact that I see people who walk around all day with an amputation, men ha'arkuva l'mayla, that they're amputated above the knee, does not mean that they are not a treifa. Or, I should say it like this, by humans, that's not really a treifa. Because human, the definition of treifa is whether there will be refuah. That is saying, on the fundamental level, that what Tosfos in Zvachim says is really correct. That there's a real difference between treifos of Adam and treifos of Behema. The other versions of Tosfos, including our Tosfos, don't make that distinction. But the Chazon Ish LaHalacha seems to be building off of that distinction based on his diyukim in the Rambam, that treifa of animals remains fixed, and if you heal the animal, it doesn't matter, it's still a treifa. Treifa of a human, that can be based more on whether or not the animal will, the human, I guess humans are animals, right? If you go to the Bronx Zoo, they're very into that idea. But the treifa by a human is based on whether you will live or die. Was this clear, or should I repeat parts of it? Yeah, I'm deaf, so yeah.
What does that have to do with the Chazon Ish's 2,000 years?
So the Chazon Ish is saying that the 2,000 years of Torah means that those halachos were set at based on the medical reality of that time. Any halacha that is based on whether it will live or die, trefa chaya, trefa eina chaya, whatever it means, it's based on the medical reality of that time. Right, there is, by the way, a whole discussion in Poskim. It's like a little bit funny on some level. If someone goes for a heart transplant, right? So do they have to get married after the transplant again? Do you assume that they were dead? And there's like a tchias hameisim. Do you assume that they were alive the whole time? Right, you never thought about that one.
Most comes in with like DNR, right? Like must you, like if a person's dead already, then do you have to?
So, it's again, like, when you resuscitate a person, if you work in Hatzalah, does that mean the person was dead and then came back? Right? Or does that mean that the person was never dead?
Meaning, like, if the person's dead already, right, like, why do you have an obligation to perform CPR on them? Right?
Correct. That's true. But these are things that are worth thinking about.
Like, having that is considered suicide.
I
somebody's sick, then they, like, have this thing where they fill out a sheet.
Yeah.
They, like, do not resuscitate or to. So I thought filling it out as do not resuscitate can necessarily be considered suicide.
Is it? I don't think so. It depends on, it depends on your condition that you have. I fill out DNR and DNI orders with people. Again, you have to do it under proper rabbinic guidance depending on the situation. The stapler writes in the letter that people have a myth, a mistaken notion that you have to fight for every moment of life. It's not true. Sometimes, sometimes there's a time that, you know, you could push on for more life, but the person will be in such pain that it's not worth it. Like, it's just they don't want that type of life. So al pi halacha, many paskin, that you're allowed to fill out a DNR. I mean, again, I had a case with a woman who was nifter a few months ago in my shul, that the difficulty was she had severe cancer. So I felt that she could write a DNR that if the cancer causes her to... if the cancer causes her to be sick, then you don't have to do anything. Fine. The question is that because of the cancer and she was weak, and she was in bed, so she developed pneumonia. But the pneumonia is technically curable, no? You can give antibiotics in pneumonia. So the question was, are we mechuyev to resuscitate her if the pneumonia is what causes her to lose functioning? So I discussed this with a number of poskim, and I spoke to the doctor. The doctor basically said that her pneumonia is caused by the cancer. It's like very hard to split, you know, to identify what the exact cause is. I mean, the guidelines that I give, I spoke to Rabbi Willig about the case also, and one of the Hatzalah guys in my community, we gave guidelines that, you know, we shouldn't take her to the hospital if something happens at home, but only if it's something that's caused by this broad constellation of conditions. These are very difficult shailas, actually. These are very difficult shailas. And different poskim have different ways. End of life are issues that everyone should discuss. I do recommend people, no matter how young you are, that you should fill out certainly a healthcare proxy, which is somebody to make decisions for you in the event that, chas v'shalom, you're not able to make decisions for yourself. Again, all of you are probably at a stage of life still that legally your parents will make decisions for you. But you reach a point when you need to appoint somebody to make decisions for you, and it's very important to do. Those are healthcare proxies, and there's... And then there's halachic living wills about what you want to happen, how you want to live the end of your days. These are very important things. Not fun, but important. So basically, we're developing an idea that Tosis over here is assumed that Trefus by an Adam is the same as Trefus by a Behemah, whereas Tosis and other Maseches assumes that there's different, and the most extreme version of that difference might be saying that Trefus by Behemoth is a Halacha L'Moshe Sinai, which is fixed based on the medical knowledge at that time. Trefus of Adam, perhaps, is not a Halacha L'Moshe Sinai. That's the way the Chazon Ish puts it together. So far, so good? Let's go on. Next piece of Gemara. The Gemara has a question. 3 days before the festival of the non-Jews, we're not allowed to do business. So the Gemara asks, is it Shloshi Yamim Hein V'idehem or Zilma Hein Belo Idehen? No? Does 3 days mean 3 days inclusive of the festival? Or 3 days means 3 days before the festival? That's the question in the Gemara, like Ad V'Ad B'Chlal, Ad V'Lo Ad B'Chlal, that type of question. So the Gemara proves in Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Shloshi Lefneim, Shloshi Lachrein Aser. Frankly, Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel is counting double, no? Because if it's Hain V'idehen, so you count the festival as a day of the beginning, count the festival as a day of the end, so you're counting it twice. So grants, no, I did Tanish Shloshal Fneim, Tanam is Shloshal Achreim. Toshma, the Amr of Tachlifi Ba Avdimi, Amr Shmuel. Now, this is a hard, piece of Gemara to just read, because like the punctuation over here is difficult. The way we have the Gemara, it says, Yom Aleph, L'divrei Rabbi Yishmael La'olam Asar. What is Yom Aleph? Sunday. Zundig, right? Sunday. Sunday, according to Rabbi Yishmael, La'olam Asar means Sunday is a festival for the non-Jews. Rabbi Yishmael says 3 days, right? How many days a week are there? Seven, good. Three before, three after. That takes up the whole week. So Yom Aleph, it's almost like a colon. Since Sunday's a festival, L'divrei Rabbi Yishmael, L'olam Asar. the Rashash changes the text to la'olam oser. If you assume that the festival is included in the 3 days, so then the Gemara asks, so you have Wednesday and Thursday, no? Because if the festival is included, the 2 days before Sunday are going to be Friday and Shabbos. 2 days after is going to be Sunday and Monday. Well, 2 days, right. It's Friday and Shabbos are 2 days before, thank you. Sunday's the festival, and 2 days after be Monday and Tuesday, so Wednesday and Thursday is going to be permitted. So the Gemara says, no, according to Rabbi Yishmael, for sure, tain below idehen. Our only question is, halibah derabbanan. What's the halacha? And the Gemara's basic answer is going to be, after all said and done, that 3 days before does not include the festival day. Now, what's interesting about this Gemara is, and in, I forgot which one, I think Talia, you lent me your Gemara before class to look in. So on the bottom of your Gemara, they point out in like a note Aleph that there's a different girsa in this Gemara. Instead of Yom Aleph, it says... What?
Where is it?
It's, I think, the letter Aleph at the bottom.
Yom Notzri.
What does Yom Notzri sound like? What are the Notzrim?
Christians.
So Yom Notzri is the Christian day. What's the Christian festival? The Christian day?
Christmas.
What?
Christmas.
Sunday! When did they go to church? Sunday! No? That's obvious, right? So apparently what happened in our Gemara is that they changed Yom Notzri to Yom Aleph. At home I have the manuscript of Avodah Zarah, the reprint of the manuscript of Avodah Zarah. JTS put it out a number of years ago. It says in the Gemara Yom Notzri, but the word Notzri is written very small, and if you look at it from afar, you could see how someone can make it into an Aleph, because it's like all clamped together. Should I bring it in and show it to you? Like, I don't know. I'll try to bring it in. What? I could email a picture of it. That's fine. I don't know how well it will come out, but we can try that. Now, this girsa of Yom Notzri means the Christian day, presumably. Now, the Me'iri on Daf Beis Amud Aleph in Maseches Avodah Zarah, the Me'iri writes that Notzrim are not Christians. The Me'iri says that Notzrim means descendants of Nebuchadnezzar. No? In the first packet that I gave, that I emailed you for that first introductory share way back when, so I don't know if any of you have it, but there is a, look at the Me'iri on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. Shav the text. I even underlined it, right? So what does the Me'iri say? The Me'iri writes, thank you, the Me'iri writes that we're allowed to do business with our Goyim because our Goyim are umos hagedurim bedarche hadassos. They are moral, civilized people. They're not barbarians. I, umash amru begamarei, notzri la'olam aser, ani mefarshom milashon notzrim ba'im me'eretz merchak. That's a pasuk in Yechezkel or something. No? He says, I understand it. That comes in Notzrim. Ha'amar b'yermiya, sorry. She'kara osam ha'am Notzrim ha'shem Nebuchadnezzar. And they worship the sun. And when you worship the sun, so Sunday is the sun's day, etc. Because there are Sheva koch ve'leches, no? There are seven planets and major stars that were known to people. Sunday, Monday. Monday is the moon. Right? Etc. Now, like Lundi, right? Moon is Monday in French. Right? Fine. I used to know the days in French. And I thought I really knew the days in French. So I went to Montreal with my wife. I parked and I said, oh, it's obviously not going to be a problem. I won't get a ticket because like, I know the days in French. Of course, I started from the wrong day with my Cheshbon. Dimanche is Sunday, right? But when you say the days of the week in French, you say lundi, mardi, mercredi, right? Say Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Dimanche comes at the end. But I like got it all wrong and I ended up getting a ticket. Then the shaila is, basically it's halachic shaila, you have to pay a ticket that you get in Montreal if you're an American. But they will catch it. So now, the point is that the Me'iri... I teach you lots of useful stuff, don't worry. The Me'iri... What?
If you go anywhere that's a problem, what do you get?
Right, at this point, yeah, they'll get you anywhere. That's correct. But the Me'iri develops a theory that Notzrim over here does not mean Christians. Notzrim means descendants of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, what the Me'iri is probably addressing is a point that Rabbi Yaakov Emden makes in his notes on, in the back of the Gemara. Apparently, I'm not an expert in Christianity, but if you're connected to any experts in Christianity, you should ask them. Sunday was not the Christian festival day at the very beginning. They changed to be different from the Jews later on, right? In other words, at the time of the Gemara, Yom Notzri would not have been Sunday, right? So the Me'iri, probably in sensitivity to this point that Rabbi Yaakov Emden is making, is saying Notzri over here does not mean Notzrim, does not mean our Christians. But be it as it may, the Yesod of the Me'iri, many prove from this Me'iri here on Daf Beis, commenting on our Gemara and Daf Vav, that the Me'iri is very serious about his idea. You see, if the Me'iri is just an apologist, if he's just using this expression of Umos Hagadurim B'Darchei Hadassos to avoid censors, to avoid anti-Christian messages that come up, so then, you would just say, Umos Hagidurim ends the conversation. You don't have to... The fact that he goes and he says, Notzri over here means students of Nebuchadnezzar, right? And he reinterprets it in a different way than he reinterprets everything else, gives you the impression that the Me'iri is actually serious. If the Me'iri would just be addressing a polemic concern, addressing a concern that the censors, that the goyim are going to have a tain on us. So you would say the same thing every time. The fact that over here he gives a different explanation shows that the Me'iri actually meant his comment of Umos Hagadurim. That's what some of the scholars point out. But the basic idea that emerges from this Gemara is that Yom Aleph, according to Rabbi Yishmael, should be usher entirely. Because Rabbi Yishmael ushers both 3 days before and 3 days after. There is a bit of a discussion in the Rishonim about why does Rabbi Yishmael usher the 3 days after. It could be that the 3 days after the festival is a gezeira atu, the 3 days before the festival. Or it could be that the reason we don't do business with the Goyim before the festival is because we're worried that they're going to be in the Talmud, that they'll thank their gods. And Rabbi Yishmael assumes that even after the festival, they'll still be in the type of good mood that they'll thank their gods. That could be the Pshat in Rabbi Yishmael. The Me'iri in that location tries to explain Rabbi Yishmael in two different ways, based on what we're saying. Again, B'li Neder, what we want to do next week is begin the real crux of the learning, which is the sugya of Lifnei Iver. I hope to send out Mekoros. What we will probably do is we'll learn a few lines of Gemara over here. There's also a few sugyas of Lifnei Iver and Daf Yud Daled, and I'll give you approaches in various Rishonim, etc. We should have a good time. So, Iyun learning is going to be beginning next week. Thank you. Have a good Shabbos. And you have to get back to me about what Shabbos would be good for you guys to come up to the height. The Shabbos that you suggested, I'm just not sure about. My wife might be going to Israel that week, so I just don't know. Okay, thank you.